מדברים אמזון, הפודקאסט שמקלף את שכבות העולם הסבוך של אמזון, עם עמית רוזנטל ואלי ונטורה, שני יזמים ותיקים ומנוסים בעולם האי-קומרס. בואו נצא לדרך.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Talk podcast. My name is Eli Ventura, my colleague Amit Rosenthal here with me as have every week. And today we have a special guest from sunny California. Amit, how are you?
I'm fine, Eli. I have to admit that you are doing this better and better in English every time. So
next time we will start in Spanish.
Yeah, we think about this. Anyway, thank you. I'm fine. Today with us, Lundell Hopper, from sunny California. Lundell is a seller on Amazon for the last 4 years, basically from 2020. Lundell, we are super happy and excited to welcome you to the show. So thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing great and I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me on.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
So, first, thank you for taking the time to record with us. And we'd like to begin with asking you to take us on a journey back in time, roughly 6 months before you start your Amazon journey. Could you share with us what are you engaged in this time? What is your age? What inspired you to dive into the world of Amazon?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 34 now. I was 30 when I started the business. And I had been looking, I had friends at the time that were selling products on Amazon. They were white labeling existing products and they were doing very well. They're making quite a bit of money doing it. And so really the year up to before I started, I was kind of looking for different products. At one time I had ordered samples from China of like oven mitts and various products and they were just not great. So I was kind of testing different products. That didn't really impress me. So I didn't think there was a business there. And then one day I was sitting on the toilet and I was using wipes and I realized that, you know, the toilet paper holder is great for the toilet paper. You have like your cabinet for everything else, but there's no place to put your wipes. And so that was the moment I kind of had my big idea. And so I created the toilet paper holder with storage, the toilet paper holder with a built-in wipes compartment. And within about 6 months of thinking of the idea, I had found a manufacturer in China. I had started producing samples and I got live within a couple months after that. So yeah, that's kind of how I came up with the idea and how I got started.
Oh my God, this is the most funniest way to start the you say it's 2020, so it's a kind of in the middle of the pandemic, so you're spending a lot of your time in your house, so you're searching and browsing for things to sell. But I want to say, what did you did before you start Amazon?
Oh, I was in sales. At various tech companies. Various tech companies like WeWork, Cloud Kitchens. I was there for probably almost 10 years at these kind of bigger tech companies, doing enterprise level sales.
Okay, so you don't have any experience with designing a product or manufacturing?
No, absolutely zero.
But you did decided to do it, to design a new product from scratch.
You know what? It was one of those things where I wanted to buy it. And it didn't exist. So yeah. I just knew it was a good idea.
Got it. So what is like, the next?
Yeah, if the product existed, I would have just bought it and been happy and never started my business, but it didn't. So it was, I thought it was a good opportunity. And I think I was right.
Amit, we can't hear you.
I'm saying for men, the best ingredients come from the toilet. So it's reasonable to make it happen. No, it's cool. But I have a question. Like, Randall, how, like, you know, being in the tech industry, you have, I would assume, kind of like a wonderful life, right? Everything is cool. You're getting great salary. So why to decide to become an entrepreneur, basically, and starting your own business for your own building?
Yeah, all of that is true except for the wonderful life part. I hated working for people. Like, it despised me. I would sit at my desk every day and just be angry that I had to answer to people that I personally thought were stupid. And my mom has her own business. My dad has his own business. I always knew that the entrepreneurial kind of journey was the right one for me. And I just hadn't thought of what it was going to be. I certainly didn't think it was going to be selling toilet paper holders, and certainly coming up with, you know, new designs for toilet paper holders. But the corporate life was fine. It just didn't fit me. And then once I wanted to go travel and kind of have more of a, I don't know, alternative lifestyle. And once I created the product, I went and traveled the world for a few years. I didn't just like stay at home and, you know, work on the business. I went and traveled and took advantage of life and the lifestyle that it could provide, which, you know, the corporate job and the corporate salary can't do.
Right. No, that's cool.
I want to deep dive in your product, if I may.
Yeah, of course.
Because you say you searched for the product and you didn't find it. Yep. And one of the first thing that we are searching when you're searching when you're doing market search for a new product is the search volume. You need to have a market to sell your product to. So how you create the market for a product that doesn't exist?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's actually something that I struggle with a lot now, because now I get other ideas for new products and I do the market research and I find not really worth it. And I don't do the products. Where back then I was just ignorant. I didn't do any market research. What's it, like zero market research. I just wanted the product. So I created it. But had I done market research, I don't know if I would have. So, I think back then it was ignorance that made me do it, where now I almost know too much. So I don't create as many new products. But back then, like you said, like, yeah, I created kind of a new product that didn't have a market, but I sort of was the market. Like, I was somebody who cared about design. I cared about how my house looked, my bathroom looked. I didn't like clutter sitting out. And then also I liked using wipes instead of toilet paper. So those two things didn't really, you know, mesh together very well. So, I think maybe intuitively I knew that there was a market because I myself was the market, but I would say pure ignorance and maybe a little bit of stupidity just allowed me to do it.
This is the receipt for success, you say.
Yeah.
So,
really, I think we can elaborate on, like, you know, manufactured products that doesn't exist, which you believe like the market is looking for. And mention the choice on that, because, you know, it's a totally different game already from what we are accustomed to hear from, like, other colleagues of us in the podcast and general, right? So it's totally new vision on, like, if the product would be successful, is maybe to think about yourself as a persona, right? And how many people can engage to the same product, basically.
And that's kind of how I've gone about it since then. I've launched other products that are maybe just extensions of, you know, my brand that can just bring in additional revenue, essentially. But the goal for me is really to always create new designs or new like utilities entirely for products, because I really believe that, I mean, that's where the money is, right? That's where the gold is. Not trying to fight over price with somebody else, but creating something novel that has real value and bringing that to the world.
So it's amazing story, by the way. It's amazing story because we talked over the years with so many sellers that a few of them say, okay, I need to sell a product that's already in Amazon and maybe change the color. And there was a sellers that want to create something new, but in a market. But you say, I'm creating something new that doesn't even market, and it's amazing. What will be the first step? Because you're not a designer and you're not a product, I don't know how it's called, to the the profession?
So I get this question all the time from like my friends and family and just people I meet that are always just surprised at my story. I always say this, and this is how I try to do it in my own product kind of inventing, is just pay attention throughout the day to the little things that annoy you. That's where the product ideas are. The little things where every time you do it, you say, ugh, or like every time it happens every single day, you just get a little bit annoyed. That's where product opportunities are. Fix those little problems that nobody else is thinking about.
Wow. This is super tough.
It's super tough.
Because you ignore like them.
Yeah, because every day you just go about your day, right? And it's just part of your routine is just to be annoyed by these little things. But there's opportunity there. Because everybody has it. Go ahead, sorry.
It's like, I wish I had, right? I wish I had, right? So this is the brilliant idea it's coming from. That's crazy.
Yep.
So how did you design the product? You did it by yourself, or you recruit something, you take a freelancer?
No, so essentially what I did was I took dispensers that already exist, and then I took toilet paper holders and I essentially like drew them together so that I could kind of get the point of the idea of the product I was trying to create, like a very rough version of it. And then I just sent it to manufacturers in China and asked if they would be willing to make a custom product for me. And like I said in the beginning, I've always been in sales, so doing sales outreach is very natural to me. So I probably reached out to maybe 20 or 30 different suppliers, and you know, maybe 10 got back to me, maybe only 5 were willing to kind of work on a new product, and maybe only 2 or 3 were willing to design it with me. And then one of them was willing to make a rendering of it. They made a really like professional, nice looking rendering of the really poor version that I did myself. And then their price was super high, but I took that rendering that they made for me, and then I sent that out to another 20 or 30 manufacturers and tried to see who could make this custom product. And then when I did that, I'd get pricing for maybe 5 or 10, and then try to understand where I could actually get the price. And then I would take that price and send it out to another 20 or 30 and try to get that price lower and lower. So it was like casting the widest net for one step and then finishing that step and then taking what I got from that step, going to the next one, casting the widest net out again, and trying to just wheel it in over and over and over again. And by the way, that was 4 years ago. I'm still doing that to this day with that wow. same product, still casting it out, trying to get the price down.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay. So you found the manufacturer that will produce you. First batch was 1,000, 500?
First one I did 500.
500. Okay. I believe that the price was a bit high than the market average price, right?
Yep.
Because it's a different product.
More than double.
Yeah. How do you launch it?
Really poorly. I launched it on Amazon and, you know, I ran ads to it. I tried to post on it on like social media and stuff, like my personal account a personal account that I made for the business. And it did okay. And I would try to target keywords like, you know, toilet paper holder or wet wipes dispenser or flushable wipes, trying to just get people that were searching, you know, kind of in that market or market adjacent. And for the first year, it went okay, I would say. You know, I would maybe do $12,000, $15,000 a month in sales. It was nothing like I kept my job. Through all of it. Like I couldn't live off of it. Right. And then after about a year, somebody posted about it on TikTok that I didn't know about. I didn't have TikTok, so I had no idea what was going on, and it went viral. It got 4 million views and blew up. And since that day, my business has been like a multi-million dollar business, and it's just been completely transformed. So to answer your question about launching though, like I launched it in a very not great way. I didn't know what I was doing, right? Like this is kind of the thread of the whole story. I have no idea what I'm doing. I still don't. But it went viral like a year later, and then it just blew up. And now it's just me learning as as it goes.
It's like a fairy tale story. it's the dream of every Amazon seller.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
Remember, if you learned in a course or whatever, like how to launch products, how, I don't know, it's to whatever, to do promoting products on Amazon, or it's simply like a test for yourself?
Are you asking like why I did it, or?
No, I'm asking if you learned in a, like a course, in a web course or whatever, how to launch products, or is it simply came natural to you? You know, some trials, some tests, and see what happens.
Yeah, in the beginning, it was all just doing it on my own and kind of, you know, reading online, watching YouTube videos, whatever, just kind of learning as I went. I did have some friends that did it, like I mentioned before, but their businesses were not anything that, like at the time, it was very helpful to understand the basics from them, but it wasn't like anything that I could, you know, really kind of knock out of the park with. So for the most part, it was just trial by error was really what it was. Once the product started doing like, you know, a couple million a year, I wanted to get more serious and hired multiple agencies over the years to try to work with agencies to teach me or to just do it better than I was. For anybody listening, I would absolutely not recommend that. They were all awful and I fired them all immediately. But I did find one agency that was actually amazing this past year who actually introduced me to you, Amit. Right. And I'm still working with them and they don't do it for me. They teach me how to do things. And they've really taken my business to the next level. So I would highly recommend them. GNO Consulting is who they are. But yeah, for the most part, it was just trial by error and trying to fix things that were broken.
The difference with GNO that they are not agency. They are consulting services.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the best way to do it.
Yeah,
as far exactly. As I,
they're super smart. I don't get like a commission, although I should. But I would highly recommend them. They were amazing, and like I plan to stick with them for a long time. They've really transformed my business.
Listen, we are asking them to come to our podcast for like what, maybe half a year at least, right? So I'll put them to come. This will be your. Your affiliates, right? Put them to come to Amazon Talk.
Yeah, yeah. I'll team up on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what will be the next step? You see your product is exploding and it's increasing and higher and higher and you get all that sales and profit.
Okay, so the story is really good up until now, but it gets really sad. But the next step there, I'd say the step after this one is sad. The step there, though, after like it blows up on TikTok and everything, was one, learning to replicate that, but two, funding new inventory. I had no money. Like I had no money. Every cent that came in, I would pour back into ordering new inventory, but I couldn't keep up with the demand. I really could not keep up with it. I ended up maxing out like, I think 6 different credit cards that I would open and just max out and then try to pay off the balance before it was due. I got, I think over $300,000 or $400,000 in like small loans and small lines of credit, like 90,000 here, 30,000 there, and just piling it all on. And it took me a long, long time to pay it all off. But I would say that was the next big thing, was funding it, like learning how to fund something that was growing at the rate that I was. And then replicating it too. So like that TikTok video, I didn't have TikTok. I had never even been on TikTok. My cousin sent me it and I couldn't even watch it because my cousin sent me it and she said, "Isn't this your product?" And at that point for like a week, I had been having sales like 1,000 times what I had ever done. So I didn't know what was going on. I was kind of freaking out. And she sent me this video and I couldn't even watch it because I didn't have a TikTok account. So obviously, whatever, I figured that out, I was able to watch the video. And then I learned, okay, social media promotions is really good. So then after that, I paid another influencer on Instagram who had a large following to promote my product. I paid them $3,000 to promote it. And this one went even more viral. It went to 17 million views.
Wow.
And yeah, it was insane. And I mean, for months after that, I had sales of, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars per month in like sales that I really just couldn't keep up with. So after that, I actually kind of had to back it up. But rosy story, right? What happened though was it went so viral and got so popular, I started getting knocked off. That's where the Chinese kind of manufacturers came in, and just all of a sudden, this was in, I think, March of 22, hundreds, like the market got flooded with people ripping me off. And since then, it's been a fight. Like that's where the fun story ends, and the tactical story begins.
What is the tactical story?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Advice, give it to me. No, you know, it's just learning. Like I got patents, so trying to understand patent law and, you know, shut people down that copied my design, because I couldn't get utility patents. I only got design patents. Mm-hmm. Trying to understand price better. Like at that time, I was selling at $40 a product, $39.99. I mean, now I fluctuate between $19.99 and $24.99. You know, competing on price, because these Chinese manufacturers were coming out at like $12.99 and I was at $40. So it didn't add up, right? Like they took all of the market from me. So it's been a real fight since then. As of today, and not to give them too much props, but as of today, and a lot of help from GNO Consulting, I am back as like the market leader. And it's good, but I mean, the margins compared to what they were are razor thin. You know, it's just, it's a price war now, where before it was, I owned the entire market.
So you already have the next innovation?
I've launched quite a few over the years now. A couple of them have done okay. None of them have been as good as my first one, which is a little sad. A little
Wait
funny,
for the
though.
TikTok video.
Yeah. and I always come up with new ideas, but it's like I said in the beginning, like I almost know too much now. Now I do in-depth market analysis, and I don't always find that the opportunity is worth the cost or worth my time. Whereas if I had done that the first time around, I probably wouldn't have done it. So I don't know. It's kind of a tough thing to weigh.
Where do you see your store in 1 or 2 years from now?
So from here, I just want to dominate the bathroom space. That's really what I want to do. My brand, Daymoon Designs, it gets tons of volume to it. I've launched a couple other, you know, bathroom products that aren't necessarily original, but maybe designed slightly different, or just not different at all. But, you know, from making relationships with manufacturers, hopefully a better price, or kind of the more typical Amazon strategies. So dominating the bathroom space is where I plan to be in the next, I'd say right now, but over the next 1 to 2 years, definitely. And then I also plan to launch other brands around other product categories for other products that I come up with. Because I really love inventing products. I really love that game, but it's very difficult, very, very long and hard. So I need something else to keep me going in the meantime.
Got it. You know, sure. The story of a Squatty Potty?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
It's kind of similar, right? Yeah, to your, because it's for the bathroom, and it's, yep, it's a product that no one thought that he need, but they made by themselves a yep, viral movies that was super funny and crushed the YouTube, and then become I think 8 or 9 figures account on Amazon, and they actually created the search volume on Amazon, the market.
Yep. Is that how they did it? They went on YouTube? Is that what they did? I didn't know.
Yeah, there's a YouTube video from I think 7 or 8 years ago. There is hundreds of millions of views. And this where it began.
That's funny. I'm gonna search for that after this call. Another similar one that is much better than me is Dude Wipes, if you know them.
Yeah.
They kill it. They do really well. And they have a great product.
You can make some kind of collaboration with them.
I am partnered with them, actually.
Perfect.
Yeah. You see? But they're great guys. They're really good guys. Yeah.
So if a seller that is starting today to sell on Amazon, want to sell on Amazon, what will you recommend him? To start as your way, to innovate something new, to find the issue, or to go to do market research, to find the market, and then make the innovation?
Personally, I would recommend to do it my way. It certainly can work both ways. And I think most people on Amazon work not my way. So, you know, they found good opportunities and they were really analytical about it. And they found the right manufacturers that can make it for the right cost. And they launched a product successfully or a brand successfully, simply, you know, on good margins, right? And I think that's a really good story and a really good way to go business. It's probably the right way to go about building a business. But at the end of the day, it's catching a falling knife, right? Mm-hmm. Doing it that way, you will always, always come down to a price war. And if you have no protection in terms of patent or IP, and you have no differentiation from the rest of the market, all you have is price. And that is not a fun game to play. And you will end up on single digit margins. Not saying you can't be successful, it's just much harder. Whereas if you create a new product, you can ideally get protection intellectually, and you can create a market that you can then dominate. That's what I would recommend. And I would also recommend focusing on your brand as much as the product. That's another mistake that I made that I wish I could go back and redo is one, not having a brand name that takes up the entire first line of the Amazon title. Terrible, terrible strategy. But building a brand that, you know, differentiates itself from the rest of the market and can become like a household name.
So building a brand inside Amazon or outside Amazon? Or both?
I mean, if you can do it outside, that's great. Really, really hard though. If you haven't done it before, do it on Amazon. Learn the ropes. That's where I think 70% of the US market shops. It's there's more than enough opportunity to do it on Amazon. And it's easier. It's so much easier.
So in your opinion, it's not too crowded in 2024 to start a new journey on Amazon?
No, I don't think so.
I think we will ask this question 10 years from now and say, oh no, how did we miss the opportunity to start in 2024?
I agree. I've tried to build my Shopify site. I've tried to launch in other countries, or I do sell in other countries. I've tried to sell on Wayfair, on fair.com. I've sold on quite a few other marketplaces. Walmart's terrible. I've shut them all down and I've just focused 100% on Amazon USA. I think the market's so big, it's so good. It's still a good time to get involved. And you don't have to spread yourself too thin. You could focus on one thing and really focus on doing it right.
What about B2B?
That's an interesting point, because you know, a lot of people now like trying to diversify out of Amazon because they say, hey, Amazon is too crowded, or the margin getting smaller and smaller. So yep. We want to try Walmart. We want to try other platforms or other like other stores to go to, like Wayfair and so on. So, you know, your view on that is quite the opposite from the people that we heard. That's just the people I'm speaking with.
I know it. I know it's different. I know I'm probably the minority with that viewpoint. But I'll tell you, I've sold on these other marketplaces before, and it causes more headache than it does profit. That's been my experience. And it's better to do one thing really good than to do five things mediocre. And I would say with that, think about your own shopping experience. In my, I, you know, for your listeners, for you guys, ask yourself this question, and I'll ask myself this question, but just answer it myself as well. Where do I shop? If I want anything, I only open up Amazon and I shop on Amazon because I can have it the next day, right? Or sometimes even that day. No other marketplace offers that. Do you enjoy like returns at Walmart? From my experience, it is a headache. It is terrible. Amazon's just made it so easy for the consumer. I pretty much only shop on Amazon. And it's kind of going back to like the creating a product for myself. I'm going to sell it where I want to buy it too.
Super makes sense. What about B2B? Because do you have such a unique product and a design patent, why not to start selling it in, connect with Bed Bath & Beyond? I know it's not that easy, but you can start a relationship and maybe next year you will be bulk selling them.
Yep. I've tried and I've failed, but I continue to try. I think it's a great opportunity for me. I also think getting in with home builders and having them installed in like apartments or hotels or, just new housing structures, I think is another big opportunity for my brand. I've tried many times over the years and I've never made it. But I still try because I do think that's a great opportunity.
Amazing. Randall, we have a question in every show, the same question that we ask all our guests. And I would like to hear your answer about it. So the question is, what would you do if you win tomorrow in $10 million net? What will you do with them?
I would answer that question much differently than I probably would have a couple of years ago. I would do absolutely nothing different. I'd probably buy a house, but a bigger house. But I would do absolutely nothing different. With this business, I've had the fortune of not having to work and not having to really spend much time on my business. And those months or, the year or so that it was that good was awful. I was so bored. It was so boring. So I would say if I got $10 million just out of nowhere, I would do absolutely nothing different. I'd invest it and just keep living my life.
You're still traveling the world?
Keep traveling the world. Yes, definitely.
Amazing.
That's cool. I want to ask a question, Eddie, before we go. So this story is all about like ups and downs, being high and lows, right?
Yeah.
How do you like handle this? Because you've been like so successful with your product. Then later on, it's like becoming your own problem, so to speak, right? Because of the pricing and yep. People get like more for your product. So trying to understand, like, how do you handle like this kind of highs and lows with your career, with your brand in general?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I would say in the beginning, the lows, I never thought the lows were going to go back up, and I thought it was done. I thought I'd go have to get another job and like just put my tail between my legs and it would just be a write-off failure story. But after being through so many lows and coming back up again and down again and up again, like you said, with the highs and lows, I've just learned the highs, you always go back down. The lows, you always come back up. So it's almost like the Buddhist mindset. It's like just even keeled the whole time. Don't get too excited when you're high. Don't get too sad when you're low because it's only temporary and it's always going to come back.
I think with this sentence, we can end the show.
Thank you so much, guys. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you, Randall. I hope you. I wish you good luck. And
great story. One of the best, don't worry.
Yeah, one of the best. Great, short, super inspiring. And I'm going to search it on Amazon now and maybe buy it. I will need it.
I'll give you a discount.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Bye, Randall. Bye-bye.
Bye.